All right, Chevre, B'siata Dishmaya. We are here in Shari Chutzfat. We're going to be learning B'siata Dishmaya. Korvel Nafshi, the Tzadik, Rabbi Avram Tzvi Kluger, Shelita. And we are up to page Resh Yud Aleph, Ira, Ah. Let's see what we have in this page, in this teaching. It's the third perek of Yechidi Ba'olam, a unique individual in this world. Maim amukim eitza belev ish. It's a pasuk in Tanakh that says, deep waters, advice in the heart of man. Shlomo Melech, if I'm not mistaken, but we'll get to it soon. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Mishlei Proverbs. So, what did we learn last week? We learned that there's three stages in figuring out what's going on inside of you. Stop, pay attention, try to figure out and define what's going on externally. Then contemplate and feel and sense what's going on internally. And then allow it and give it space to teach you the lesson that needs to be taught and give you the action that Hashem wants you to do in that state. What is Hashem trying to reveal through you? That's the amazing three-step process Rav Kluger gave us. And now we're going to take it even deeper and develop on that. Bezat Hashem. Just to mention, right now is the Ilula Kadisha of two giant tzaddikim that are extremely connected, even though they're in different time periods and in different parts of the world. One, the first one is Rav Shalom Mizrahi Sharabi, the Rashash, who was the head of the Beit El Yeshiva, and he was a Yemenite master of Kabbalah that made Aliyah from Yemen to Jerusalem, started making tea for the Kabbalists in Jerusalem. At a certain point, when everybody went on break, he would hear the discussions that were there having in the room before they went on break, and he would write answers that they couldn't get to and put it inside the Rosh Yeshiva's books. And they didn't know who was having. Was Eliyahu Navi writing net letters and giving it to the rabbi? One day, the Rosh Yeshiva, his daughter said, I'm going to figure out who's... She used to clean up there and help out, and she did an ambush, and she caught the Rashash answering these things. The next day, the Rosh Yeshiva walks in after his daughter obviously had snitched already and told him what happened. He stood at the head of the table and he said, Rabbi Shalom, please, come sit down. You're the Rosh Yeshiva now. The humility of him. He made him the head of the Yeshiva, and he gave him that same daughter. So she snitched on him, but she got him as a husband for the rest of her life. One of the biggest Kabbalists to ever live. That according to our tradition, he was a Gilgul, a reincarnation of the Arizal, from here, from Tzfat. And also, the Ilula of Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson, the Lubavitch Rebbe, the sixth Lubavitch Rebbe, the father-in-law of the previous Lubavitch Rebbe, the Rebbe Rayatz. One is called the Rashash, and one is called Rayatz. Both start with Reish, with a Patach, which is the secret of Chochmah, says Rabbi Shmuel Morgenstern. And this is not on here, but... same as this page, yeah. And it's unique that you have Rebbes that are called Ra Shash, Ra Yatz. You don't have too many of those with a Patach like that. And they both were able to take the secrets of the Torah to places that never had him. The Rashash was the first person that was really able to go deep and explain the secrets of Torah in Jerusalem. Even though you already had Yeshivot of Mekubalim, he took it to a whole other level. He was a revolutionary. And also the Rebbe Rayatz taught Hasidut outright in Kabbalah in Russia. And then he took it to America, right? He founded Chabad America. And then, in the end of his life, for the first time, the secrets of the Kabbalah were taken to the Southern Hemisphere. And he sent Shlichim into Africa, to South Africa, into South America. So they took the Torah into places that it never was. The secrets of the Torah. And tonight's the Ilula, and they're both connected. One, again, look at how amazing this is. One is named Shalom ben Yitzchak, and the other one is named Yosef Yitzchak ben Shalom Dover. Right? Hashem knows what he's doing. One is Sephardi, one's Ashkenazi. Kabbalah, Hasidut. Baruch Hashem. Tov. In their schut, we're learning, and Bezat Hashem, the lights will come down on us, and we'll be able to come closer to Hashem, Bezat Hashem. L'chol adam yesh chefetz. Every single person has a desire. the solution of life is found deep down inside our nefesh, inside our soul. Like it says, Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, in Proverbs 20th chapter, Mayim Amukim Eitza Balev Ish. Deep waters, that's the advice, right? In the, I don't know exactly how to translate it, right? But so the advice is, in, it's inside of you. It's deep down inside of you. Everybody knows what's going on inside of him. And he's just begging to be able to bring it into expression. How do you know? By way of you learning and recognizing what is my external desire, and from that, recognizing what's going on inside of me, what is seeking to be revealed, what is seeking to come out, like the Chovot HaLevavot. Chovot HaLevavot is the duties of the heart. It's a beautiful book, you have it here as well, written 800, 900 years ago, one of the Rishonim. It's a book of Musar. It was written originally in Arabic, in Spain. Rabbi Bechaye Ibn Pekude, he wrote an amazing book called Chovot HaLevavot, The Duties of the Heart, and there's one book there that became extremely famous, one section of the book that's called Shar Bitochon, The Gate of Trust in Hashem. All the book is made into Sharim, into gates, and this one chapter became a standalone book that personally actually was the book that made me religious. It was the first book that I actually took serious when I was wanting to become religious again. And it's highly recommended to get into it. Here, let me just get this on camera really quick. This is a Chabad version of Shari Bitochon that they put out. If you ever see this book, white and blue like this with the gold, they have it in English. This is in English, right? Buy it. Buy it. Life-changing. It will change your whole entire relationship with God. And this is the full set from Feldheim of the whole entire Chovot HaLevavot. So what does he say there in Shari Bitochon in the third chapter? That every single person has an inner inclination, that you have a desire, you have something that you're trying to do, and you have to try to guide it when you're coming to try to find, what am I going to do to make parnasa? How am I going to make money? How am I going to sustain myself in life? We all have an inner inclination though. It's not just go get a job. No, I'm a human being with desires. I'm a human being, I connect to certain things and I don't connect to others. V'kotev lemi shegufo chalash v'chusha v'ruchanim chazakim, whoever has a weak body, for example, the Chovot HaLevavot brings us an example. Whoever has a weak body, but he has a strong mind, he has mental and emotional and spiritual power. Not the strongest person physically. Levali vakesh sibot lefarasa meyegot et gufo achitel ma shehaya ye kal al gufo v'yuchal leadmit alav. Don't go looking to be a mover or to work in a factory really hard. No, find something that's easy on your body and that engages your mind. You have to know yourself. Don't just go get a job. Ulechol adam yesh chefetz b'melacha u'schora. Every person has a desire of some kind of business or trade that they want to do. Mi bilti zulato, something that no one else wants to do. Something that no one else, it's... Why do I desire it? Why do I desire that? Can you give me something to drink? Sorry. So we all have something that we're trying to do, and it has nothing to do with anybody else. Hashem already impressed inside of your nature that you have a love and a connection to that, right? To art, to whatever it is, something that you desire to do. And he brings there that since Hashem made this part of your nature, so too, we look in the world, a hatul, right? A cat, his nature is to go after mice. It's in its nature. And the ayil, right? The ayil is the ram or the sheep. That's the hunt. That's the prey of snakes, right? Thank you, Tzadik. So every single type of thing, even plants, right? Not only do they have something that they desire more than everything else, their body is made in a way that it's meant to be go after that thing. Right? The digestion system, whatever it is, it's meant to eat that thing. It's not just the desire. That's how it's made up. God created that thing in order to be a prey to that thing. Kmo peh ha'aroch le'of atzad dagim, pelicans, birds that go next to the ocean. They have longer beaks. They're fishers. A bird that fishes has a long beak. Why did God create it like that? Because that's exactly what it needs. That's where it lives. That's exactly what it's going to seek after. so too and so on, right? Lions have sharp canines. Bulls have horns to protect themselves, right? They eat from the ground, but they need to protect themselves. They're a docile animal for the most part. They need the horns. Everything has what it needs. The Chovot HaLevavot says, "Umi shemotze b'midotav v'tivo kosef el melacha mi'amelachot." Whoever has this kind of in their nature, they have this yearning towards a certain job, a certain career, v'yegufo ra'uila, and your body is fitting to do it. V'yuchal lisbol et ha'tircha, and you're able to take the effort and the that kind of work. Yechazer aleha, chase after it. It's good. Seek out that job. It's something that's fitting for you, who you are. You make that now the reason, the cause for your parnasa, for your sustenance in this world, and you have to suffer its sweetness and its bitterness. That's what you're meant to do. According to your makeup of how God created you, your nature and your nurture, this career and not that career. Ah, but this and this and that. Yeah, you have that in any career you're going to pick. You're going to have to pick one. You need to make money. You need to exist in this world. Pick it and go with it. Don't sell out. Be real with yourself. But just know, life is going to come with bitterness and it's going to come with sweetness. And whatever it is, go down that path. You got to go down it. Whoever, according to your abilities and your powers and your talents that God gave you, so you yearn towards a certain thing, so you now have to lead yourself towards that action. You're figuring out, what am I, who am I, what do I desire? Now start to go after it. The Chovot HaLevavot is telling you, you're here to work. Everybody in the world, you have to make money. Whether you work or not, you have an obligation in this world to bring down Shefa, to bring down Parnasa, to bring down money somehow. You have to exist. But we're all different, and we all desire different things. So don't sell out. But life is not going to be, because you found it, like they say in the world, it's not work if you love what you do. No, it's called work for a reason. It's not going to change whether you love it or not. And it's going to be sweet some days and it's going to suck some days. That's life. At least be in the lane, the right lane though. You're an artist, do art. Don't go work now in construction. If you want to work in construction, be an architect. Your whole family's in construction and you're an artist and there's no way out of the construction world, okay. No problem. You don't have to be moving bricks. Your body's not built for that. Like the Chovot HaLevavot says outright, you're a weak person physically. Okay, admit it. Don't go try to be a Superman lifting blocks all day long, doing demolition. No, you're an artist, chemist, doctor. Everybody knows inside of them where they're leaning towards, what they're inclined towards, which tools they have, which talents they have, what they were blessed with from the heavens. And those are the tools that you have for your soul. All of those skills, all of those traits, all of those things that you had, the languages you speak, all of that were gifts. All of them are tools for you to learn what's going on inside of me. What is my inner inclination? We all know, though, that we don't allow ourselves always to act on our inner good will and desire. Like we learned in the beginning of this whole ma'amar, we're in the third chapter now, but how did it start? That Chanukah light that we each are, that pure light of Yosef HaTzadik, that everybody told to be quiet and they can't dream and they can't do and it's not going to be successful and that's not how we do it in the world. We're trying to reveal what's been suppressed so much and how often do we feel good inclinations, I want to learn for it. Why not? It's a desire from inside to sit for an hour and learn. Why not? Someone told you you're wasting time, is what to do. What are people gonna? Why not? You want to draw a beautiful painting. You're not the best artist. Why not? How many things do we have? Good, pure desires inside of us that we just don't allow ourselves to do, and therefore, inside we're all a mess. We're all not at rest. We all can't find that quiet. So let's bring a few examples, like Rav Kluger always likes to bring, right? So some real life examples. A lot of people in the world, Hashem gave them amazing talents, beautiful, unique talents that are unique only to them. Everyone according to their own lane, everybody according to their own level, their own value. Ulam enam tochim la fiko min hakoach la poal. But most people do not put effort in bringing that thing out of potential into fruition, to actualizing the gifts that God gave them. We don't really give enough importance to these gifts, these tools, these talents, these blessings that God gave us. And we make a mistake and say, what can I give to the world? What can I add to the world? My little bit, my 2 cents, what's it worth? Some people think, for example, a person that was blessed from the heavens, that he has the amazing ability to create. Right? Take this however you want. That's why I said the word create. Right? Whether you can write beautifully, you're a good artist, you're a musician, whatever it is, God gave you the ability to create. You can make the most beautiful music. Let's go on the music path, right? And you only know how much beauty is hidden inside that nigun, or the artist, how much detail was put in that tree. Beautiful sketch of trees with the detail and the shading, right? Our wives just completed drawing trees. When you go home, I want you to ask your wife.
She must have missed this week. Busy with her husband.
Ask her, you want to see her a tree sketch?
Sure.
Right? So, only that artist knows how much is in there. No one in the world knows. Only the artist knows what went inside of it. So now when you stand in front of a piece of art like that, that came out with siyata dishmaya, the help of heaven that came through your hand to make it, you were able to create it, you feel inside yourself satiation, you feel good. Look, I created that. You have an inner joy. You worked on a piece of art, you worked on a song, you wrote something, it makes sense, it comes together. You feel this sensation of like tranquility that comes over you, like, wow, it's beautiful, Baruch Hashem, I made that. Like, I understand it was a gift from God, but like, yeah, I was involved in it. It's my creation. It's beautiful. There's no one else in the world that could understand how you feel about that thing that you created. In the past, you allowed yourself to think, if only people understood, they would pull their hands from everything that they're doing just to understand for a moment what it's like to stand in front of this piece of art. Right? They would stop doing, they would leave their work just to come here to, it would be in the Louvre, and people would pay a lot of money to go to the museum just to look at my art on the wall. He doesn't want to hear any opinions on the piece of art. He doesn't want to tolerate anything else anyone has to say. For him, it's special. For him, it means the world. For him, his whole entire life is in that piece of art. And he doesn't understand why people are not running to come see it. It's not even just ego. It's like, you know, just so in love with what he created. Like, it means so much. Like, I wish the world could see it. After a while, right, your feelings start to go down, and you're not trying to bring out your energy so much, you're not putting so much into your art, because you see that really there's no one besides you that appreciates it. No one's really that crazy about your art like you think they should be. So if there's no one appreciating it, so why would I put so much into it? You show other people your amazing creation. You even try to sell it, and you see that there's no demand. There's no one wants it. You have amazing news, you have a gift from God, and no one wants it. No one's even seeking it out. No one understands it like you. And since that, you start to become embarrassed of it. And it's better maybe that I keep my secrets to myself, you know? Only I appreciate what I created, only I really see the beauty in it. Why would I tell other people? They're just going to laugh at me, they're just going to make fun of it. They don't see how special and how unique my work here was. Again, guys, I'm not talking from a place of ego. Obviously, there's ego in everything that's being said here, right? But the Rav is not saying this from like an egotistical person. No, I created something beautiful, I see light in it, but people aren't appreciating it. And you don't have to be an artist. If you're not an artist and you don't know how to create, this can go into anything else. You had an idea, you wanted to create a business, you wanted to write a book, you wanted to do something good, you wanted to connect to Hashem by reading Tehillim, go for a walk, work out, eat healthier, lose weight, gain weight. Whatever it was, it doesn't matter. You're designing something, you have something that's coming inside of you that's good, that's healthy, that's... And you stop to believe in it because there's not appreciation around you. And maybe, if you were to stop trying to present it to others and to sell it, and you just continue to create by yourself, if you were to do that, great, fine, okay. People don't appreciate it, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to continue to do it myself. All right. But you make the mistake, and you bring other people into it to judge your unique creation that was given to you from God from their perspective, with their mindset and their eyes. You start to also yourself not appreciate the fruits of your hand, the fruits of your spirit, he writes here. You start to deal with what everybody else is dealing with, whatever brings money, whatever makes you pay the bills. You start to sell out. And you start to sell out on that unique point that's inside of you that God gave you. But inside of you is a storm. There's this hurricane on this inner point inside of you that's chained up, that's hidden, that can't come out, that's scared, hiding in the corner, that's screaming out and just yearning, trying to be saved, trying to be revealed into the world, to be expressed in the world in a way that can reveal the honor of the King, the Creator, the creator of the whole entire world. But it's locked in a fortress. Rapunzel locked away in the tower, right? No one can get to it. And from that moment, the pain hasn't gone away. And that pain brings to the surface many wounds and many unfortunate situations. Pain in the heart, in the mind. Depression, depression of life, meaning the pressing down of life. Not letting anything. And a person feels like I'm wasted. I have no expression. I'm not taking advantage of my abilities, of my powers, of my blessings, of my skills, of my talents. And all these different things that, these sighs of sorrow that we all have. Because you think that there's only two ways to get appreciation, Rav Kluger says. People or money. I think that's what am I doing? Is it worth it? What's the gauge of is it worth it or not? What do people have to say about it? And what do people have to give for it? We think that that's all there is. If my artwork would be receiving praise from the masses, right? So then, okay, my expression is coming to fruition in some kind of way. All right, people like what I'm creating. I don't get anything from it, but a little bit of honor, a little bit of, okay. Right? People ask me, what do I get out of teaching Torah? Here and there some bucks, and mainly a bunch of numbers on a screen. Some views on YouTube, right? What do I get out of it? Now you're going to see why that's so important. Mukhan gam listapek biyichidim shel mamash. Even if there was just a few people that appreciated it. People that understand the beauty and the splendor that is revealed by way of such a creation, that they wanted to pay a lot of money for it. Just let me sell three paintings for $20,000, right? Three people, what am I need to sell 500 paintings for $20,000? No, give me three, a few that understand what a creation this is. Or as I anasasavea, then you would become satiated because you have stamp of approval from the masses, from someone out there that appreciated what you did, right? From the masses, from the money. And since you lack both of them, so then your own creation lacks value. But you wish to sell for 20,000 after it doesn't sell for 20,000 for a month, 2 months, now it's worth zero? How did it depreciate that fast? Achakeva penimi, the inner pain though, that does not let you rest. Even more so if you become bruised and hurt and downtrodden and despaired. And it's trying to tell you what you feel in your nefesh, things of soul, have a whole level of appreciation that's on a different scale. It doesn't come from people, it doesn't come from money. על ידי הידיעה שביטוי החיצוני זה בדמות יצירה זו היא ההוכחה ברורה לנקודה פנימית אלוקית הפועמת בעמקי הנפש והחפצה להתגלות. This piece of art, this piece of music, this writing, this is not about money. It's not about what people have to say. God wanted me to reveal a certain thing by way of me. Hashem sent me a light. Hashem sent me a song. He sent me words. He sent me an idea. He sent me a business plan. Where did it come from? And it's sitting inside of me, boiling. It's trying to get expressed. I'm finally going to express it. People don't appreciate it. Okay. I expressed God's will that came down through me. This piece of art is an expression of my connection to God, whether people appreciate it or not, whether it's worth a dollar or not. For me, I created it because I was connected to God. It's a whole different way of looking at something. Is it worth it or not? I'm adding my portion in the settlement of the world, in whatever fashion it is. Doing a favor for another person, creating something, thinking of something, putting out a piece of art for someone to enjoy, even just for myself. This is something that came through me. And this pain that we all feel of the lack of that expression, that when we value or we appraise the creation that we have in front of us, and we can't do it with money, and we can't do it with honor from other people, those are cheap ways. They're not worth much. If your piece of art came from God, what's another person's opinion? What's his $100? What's his $200,000? What is that? What's it worth compared to God? The true value of that thing is that a person did what he needed to do, and he revealed himself in the world. Here's my portion. Here's my 2 cents. It's worth much more than 2 cents. It's what God gave me. God taught me, made me a person that knows how to draw. Every drawing is a godly expression in the world. Every single sketch, the ones that no one sees in your sketchbook, that's Hashem talking through you. What?
Perspective.
There's value in the creation itself. In whatever it is that I created, whatever it is that I did, יש לצורך לנפש, my soul needed it. My soul needed it. I needed to draw that. And this is the power of expression that comes out of the depths, the most deep, unique point that you have inside of it. And that's what brings the grace and the smile, so to say, on Hashem's face. A Jew down here, person down here taps into their own inner world and expresses it and brings it out. That's what you were sent here to do. Because every single external expression that is brought into a certain action is teaching about something much deeper. And whatever is deeper, that's the ikar, that's the main thing. Meaning, there was what I felt, and then there's the piece of art. When someone buys the piece of art, what are they really buying? What I felt. That is just as best as I could describe and express what I felt inside. But the value, not from the oil or the charcoal on the canvas, that costs maybe $7. If that. What they're buying is much more than that. Like we said before, שיוכל האדם לעמוד על העומק ההומה בפנימותו, a person can stand on that inner harmony that they have, that inner voice that they have, בראותו לאיזה עשייה חיצונית נמשך אתה, how do you find out what's going on inside of you? Look what externally you're trying to do. כך הרצון היצירה מעיד על כוח מסוים בעמקי הנפש. So too, creation, when I create something in this world, that is also expressing a certain thing that's going on inside of my nefesh. And if it doesn't get expression, if it's not brought out, and it stays in handcuffs, chained up like the canary, like a bird in a right in a cage that's just trying to get out free. And so it gets stuck, it gets strangled, it starts to rot, it starts to lose its life. That inner power, this unique light that's coming down through your soul, that needs to come out into the world. It needs to come out into Hashem's world. This is Hashem's world, and He sent you that light. It needs to be expressed. And that's why you were created, that's why you were created, and that's why you were created with those talents, and that's why that idea was sent to you. It's your ability to be part of a co-creator with Hashem in this world. But the person makes the mistake to take all the light and to not let the rays of light out. You feel it, and you have it, but you don't want to let it out. You feel you have the potential, you could be doing this, you dream of different things, but you don't let it out. You don't live it. You don't actually go and do it. It's in there. אם אין לו לכך מקבלים המבטאים את הערכתם במקום שהתמלא שמחה מעצם היצירה. Why don't we let it out? We only don't let it out if we feel that there's no one out there, or there's no value out there that proves that what I have inside of me is desired and should be expressed. And as long as I think that I need another person, or that I need some kind of value in return for what I'm doing, so then I'm failing myself, I'm failing God, I'm failing the world. I have an idea to do something, I have an idea I want to share with the world. In our generation, this goes a lot, the content creation, people that are online trying to make this, you get these blockages and everything. It used to be back in the day, only artists and writers had writer's block, artist block. Now, any business owner needs to create content just to be relevant online, anything, and you feel this blockage. You have a business you show up to every single day. You can't speak from the heart about it. Express yourself. Say it. Ah, but I only got 200 views. You expressed yourself. You expressed yourself. It's like people that go on dates as well. No, I'm going to date. Every date's been a bad date. No, you're getting better as a person. You are dating yourself every time you go on a date. One time it's going to click and you're going to see that expression is going to meet the person that values it. And then you can go back into, okay, I found that one person that understands how special I am. I'm willing to marry you. I'm okay with one person appreciating me for the rest of my life. There is a balance here. But we don't do anything for anybody else. You have to appreciate yourself. You have to value yourself. Why do you pray? Not because how are people going to look to you? Because I need to talk to God. Why do you learn Torah? Because I need God to talk to me. I could care less what people have to say. And if I have something special that God gave me that I can share with the world, I'm obliged to do it. Obliged to do it, no matter what the outcome is, and no matter how it's received, I have to say what it is that I have to say, and I have to do what I have to do. That's what God sent me here for. B'zat Hashem, we're not done here. But for today we are. It's a lot more Torah here.
It goes both ways.
Meaning
that you don't blame yourself if you do a bad job because you don't care what other people say, but you also don't get the compliments when you did succeed.
Correct.
It wasn't me.
This is the secret of Bittul. This is the secret of Bittul. And I've said this before, but it's good to mention about this. Rav Yoel Tourjman, who is so, I've been thinking about him the whole entire time we're talking, all this talk about art, he coined a beautiful term called creality. You're a co-creator with the shaman. You can create your own reality by way of speaking in the right way, or thinking in the right way, which is essentially what we're talking here. When you reveal your true inner voice, which is a good voice, which is a pure voice, a voice of geula, a voice of calmness, of joy, of dancing, of music, of connection. When you can get that out, you're creating. You're creating a new reality in the most beautiful way. And I asked them once when I first found out about Rav Kluger, this tzaddik that we're learning from, I said to Rav Tourjman, how is it that he's in his 50s and he has nearly 80 books? By the way, right? And we've been reading this book for 200 pages. It's a book. It's not like it's a collection of ideas. This is work, right? This whole section here at the back, right? From here, this is the catalog of all the books. That's a set of 4 books, set of 5 books. 1, 2, this. All of this are his books. I asked, how does a 50-year-old have that much Torah? Innocent question that I had from my Rebbe. He says, it's very simple. The river's already flowing. All you need to do is jump in. That was Rav Tourjman's answer. Meaning, Rav Kluger's not really writing these books. There's a flow. Just nullify yourself, and the flow's going to come through you. And that's what we just learned. The more you bring this world and its opinions and your own opinions into the picture, the more you're stepping away from God. The more you can nullify other people's opinions, what are people going to think, which you only care about that because you care about your own ego. Right? So the fact that there's others and their money and their opinions, that's only relevant because I have an ego, which we all do. The more you can reduce how much you care about what they think, means the less you care about even what you think about what you are doing on the negative sense, the negative voice in your head. You're just going to tap into that flow that's coming through you anyway. What's true joy? Reb Nachman says, when you feel such happiness, it goes from your head to your feet and it picks your feet up and it starts to move. You start to dance. Dancing that comes out of real joy, you didn't decide to dance. Most people, when they really break out to dance, it wasn't even that they decided, I'm going to start dancing. Yecheskel and I were just at a party with all of our kids. Bunch of 3, 4, 5-year-olds singing songs to God and the fathers. And at a certain point, the room just picked up. Like, there was a nigun and the room just picked up. We all just started dancing. It was a mess. But it was pure. No one decided, okay, now guys, we're going to stand in a circle and dance. It happened. That's the flow. That's where we want to get to. That's the expression of your unique lights that are coming down from God with clear instructions. Again, to remind us what we said, what we learned last week, 3 steps in order to even begin this discussion. First, you have to stop. You're about to go for a chocolate. Okay, define it. I feel like chocolate. I feel like going for a run. I feel like drawing a picture. Now, from that, now you've defined the external desires, contemplate what does that mean internally? What is chocolate? What is my desire to paint a picture? Why do I want a joint? Why do I feel like I need an ayahuasca trip? Why are all these different things that people are going through? What you desire externally says something about what's going on internally. Once you can define both of them, now let it talk. And whatever message comes out is going to be pretty clear if you allow it to. And it's going to be godly if the more you refine yourself. And it has nothing to do with the opinions of others and not with their money. It's pure godliness between you and Hashem. Express, create. Let that light out. Don't keep it inside yourself. Too much light inside a vessel shatters the vessel. Right? The Rebbe of Kotz said, the most complete thing in the world is a broken heart. Think about a vessel. If you have this cup, right? This is not a broken cup. Right? It's not broken. So the light comes in, water comes in. At a certain point, it's full. And that's it. So imagine there was a lid here, it fills up, and that's it. That's all it can hold. If there were a few holes in here, water goes in. Not only would it fill, it would also spill out the holes. So imagine your heart filled with love, but it's broken. There's holes in it. You can feel others. You can give love to others. You're not keeping it all inside your house. That's why the broken heart is so powerful. Because it's able to permeate. It's able to feel. It's able to go in and out. And that's what Reb Nachman said. In the end, everybody's going to be breslev. He didn't mean that we're all going to be breslev or chassids. Everybody's going to have a heart of flesh. There's going to come a time, and we're already there, our generation more than ever, right? Your parents, our parents even, they didn't have the emotions we have. They didn't have the mental stress that we have. They didn't have the inner world that we have. They were in survival mode. They were body people. Do and make happen. There wasn't so much space for emotion. Survival. Our generation, you see, it's all about the inner world. But the inner world is there for us to express it, not for it to stay inside. And a lot of the reasons that our generation is so messed up, and it is, and we're suffering with so many things, is because we're not expressing properly. And if we are expressing, it's for likes, or it's for money, or it's what they're going to say, or for... You have a voice from Hashem that's only yours. Let it out. And don't care about the likes, don't care about anything. Just do it, because that's what you were sent to the world to do. Chaim! Guys, B'zat Hashem, if you made it this far, I should be in the U.S. next week, B'zat Hashem, if World War III doesn't start. Until then... So funny that wasn't even a joke. I literally mean that. B'zat Hashem, if you are in the New York, LA, Miami area, and you would like to meet up, let me know. B'zat Hashem. Chaim, guys. B'zat Hashem.